another episode of True Podcast. I'm your host, Rhea.
And I'm Alex.
And this week we have a kind of fun podcast. We're talking about some irrational fears that we have.
Right, you know, all the things that are just like really stupid to feel upset about.
Yeah, so not necessarily things that like make sense, like, you know, like fear of heights or like fear of being alone forever or something like that, you know, like more just like, oh, I have a fear of cotton, which one of our friends actually has a fear of.
Really?
Yes, Eduardo.
Oh, right. I think I've heard that before.
Yeah, he told us last time that he has this weird fear of cotton, like the feel of it. The sound it makes when you touch it, like, so weird.
We need to talk to him about that, because I'm just like, do you wear shirts?
That was why I was asking if he wanted to be on the podcast, but obviously, work comes first.
You suck, Eduardo.
Anyway. Okay, so that's a great little segue into the podcast main topic. So, you want to share one of yours first, Alex?
Alright, so, one of my major irrational fears that, like, literally no basis in reality. It's never happened to me before. I don't know what started it. But I'm really afraid of, like, my fingernails or toenails falling off. So, like, you know, because, like, that sort of thing could happen. Like, if you drop something heavy on, like, your foot or, like, slam your finger in a door or whatever. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I cannot stand the idea of seeing the skin that's under your fingernails. Because I know it's just skin under there.
Yeah.
And I know it's ridiculous, but, like, you know, when you watch, like, a horror movie or something, like, the one that pops into my mind
the is Ring?
Is the movie, well, there's a couple. There's the movie called The Descent.
Okay.
Which is basically, like, a bunch of, like, a group of women who go cave diving.
Okay.
And unbeknownst to the entire group, but this cave system hasn't been discovered before. So, like, when the friend is like, oh, I just wanted us to, you know, do something fun together and discover it and, like, whatever. And there's, like, these cave-dwelling people who are really scary.
Okay.
Anyway, so one of the cave-crawler people drags one of the women, and she's, like, you know, trying to, like, claw, like, at the ground. Yeah, yeah. And, like, her fingernails are popping off. And
oh,
I was like,
oh, my God. See, I don't have a fear of that, but, like, that scene sounds horrific.
Yeah, so, like, anytime I see that in, like, a movie, like, Silence of the Lambs, like, when the woman is in, like, the well, and mm-hmm. she's, like, looking around because she finally has some light in there, and she sees, like, people's fingernails stuck in the well.
Oh, God.
Or the hole, I guess. Yeah, I've so never it's seen that sort of thing. I hate the idea of what's under your fingernails.
See, I don't hate the idea of the fingernail being off. I hate the idea of the fingernail, like, the act of the fingernail being ripped off.
Oh, for sure. That's, like, bad, too.
That's one of my fears, which I'll talk about later, like, is, like, people getting hurt. But anyway, going back to your point about the whole fingernail thing, my fingernail has fallen off before. I was skateboarding, well, not even skateboarding. I was sitting on a skateboard and riding down my hill as a kid with Danielle, our guest from last week, actually. Like, we were doing this together.
Uh-huh.
And I put my hand, like, I was trying to, like, grab the bottom of the board to, like, steer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I put my finger too low, and I ran over, like, my finger with the wheel, like, as it was going down.
Mm-hmm.
And my fingernail came off.
So even, like, hearing about it, like, causes me a certain amount of anxiety.
It wasn't that bad. Like, it hurt kind of, but then it wasn't that bad.
I can't even, like, I would hate to even look at my finger as my nail was growing back.
Yeah. I don't remember it being particularly cute, but, like, I don't remember it being nasty. My sister recently had her fingernail ripped off by her dog. Like, long story. But she, like, almost passed out. Yeah, Gaia. She almost passed out and had a, and, like, she went to, like, the emergency room or something, or her urgent care or something.
Oh, wow.
Which was excessive. You really don't need to do that. But my sister was, like, having a panic attack. So she can probably attest to the whole fear of that.
I mean, I don't think it would have gone that far for me if, like, that were to happen, but I'd be very upset.
I feel you. Okay. Any other last comments on that?
No, that's it for the fingernails.
Okay. Well, I'll go into mine, and here's the thing. This fear is quote-unquote irrational, but it's a real phobia,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know that it was a real phobia until, like, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't know I went my whole life not knowing I had this. And I remember specifically that, like, when I would drive home from San Diego on the 15, mm-hmm. like when I used to live there, even when I would just go for funsies, there was this particular stretch of the drive that would make me feel very, like, uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, this stretch of the drive where there was, like, this hill of houses, and all of them were painted white, and, like, the windows are all black, and, like, they're clustered into, like, this area. And I really couldn't, like, I couldn't tell why I was unsettled by it. Until fast forward, I find out I have this fear, and I can see how it kind of triggered it. So the fear I'm talking about is called trypophobia. If you don't know what it is, it's the fear of, like, porous things. Like, a lot of, like, holes in, like, clusters. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, like, a wasp nest or, like, coral.
Okay.
Will, like, really do it. And the reason I found out I had it was because, like, 3 years ago, me and my husband were on Reddit, which, mistake already, to begin with. And we saw that they had this, like, this subreddit or something that was called Reddit 5050. And basically what it is, it's, like, it gives you a topic. It says, like, either, like, I don't know, like, frolicking kittens or seeing someone's fingernail fall off, you know? Like, it's, like, two options, one good, one bad. And when you click on it, it's, like, a 50-50 chance you're either going to get the good thing or you're going to get the bad thing.
Okay.
And so we're playing it. We're seeing a lot of, like, funny ones. And then we get to one, and it was, like, cute sleeping bat or trypophobia. And I was like, what the heck is trypophobia? And we click on it, and it is a picture that is a perfect example of what this fear is, like, right. Something that would induce it. And I cannot express to you what I went through. Like, I all but broke the computer. Like, I threw it across the room. I was, like, dry heaving. Like, my whole body was in cold sweats. Like, it was so bizarre. I can't tell you why I have such a visceral reaction to it. Like, it's so weird. But if I see things like that, like, I want to kill myself. Like, not even, like, figuratively. Like, I want to die.
That's so interesting. I mean, like, obviously I wouldn't want to put you through that just to see your reaction because it's not worth it. But I kind of want to see your reaction because I'm like, how does this happen?
I don't know. Like, I really... And that's the thing. Like, you know, you hear people say, like, oh, I have, like, arachnophobia. I have this phobia. And, like, you know, they'll see a spider and they'll be like, ah, scary, you know? But mm-hmm. It's, like, not really, like, a phobia. Like, they're just scared of spiders.
Right.
And me experiencing this realizes that there's a difference between having a fear of something and having a phobia.
Right.
And that's, like, something that I didn't realize was a difference until I discovered this.
Right. For sure. Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's, like, I can't tell you why... It does it to me, but it really does it to me. And then recently, not recently, like maybe a few months ago, I discovered that we had a wasp nest, like at the like peak of our roof in the backyard. Uh-huh. And I was doing like sit-ups or something, and I like looked up and I saw it, and I all but died. I all but died. And then here's the thing is that like I told Aaron about it, and I was like, we need to get that thing out of here. And so he asked our handyman to like take care of it.
Right.
And so he comes one day, takes care of it, la la la. And then I'm out there doing my sit-ups and I look up and I'm like, oh my God, like I can't tell you the amount of like stress relief I have to be able to look up and not have to like look away or something. You're gonna avoid seeing that. And so as I'm thinking this thought of like, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful that it's gone. Mm-hmm. I look forward and I notice that he hasn't thrown it away. He just placed it, like, in our garden.
Nice.
Staring me in the face. And I was like, Lord, if you're out there, why? Why do you do this to me?
That's amazing.
Anyway, so that's my main fear. Got
trolled by your gardener.
Oh, my God. He really had it out for me that day. Okay, go with one of your next ones.
So, I'm going to actually give my next two together because they're kind of related. So... One thing that really makes me uncomfortable is open ocean.
Okay.
And, like, that has actually, like, a lot of different aspects as well. Like, when I go swimming in the ocean, I don't like it when I'm too, like, close to wildlife.
Like okay. Fish like, fish, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want it to touch me. I really don't. Like, I know it's something weird, I guess, but I'm just like, I really don't like it.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's, like, slimy, and you're just like, ugh.
Right. But I really hate the idea of, like, looking into the ocean, like, when I go deep sea fishing, or when I used to, like, occasionally, mm-hmm. looking into the ocean and not knowing what's down there.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, the unknown, the vast unknown that it is just makes me freaked out. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a point in time when we were all, like, our freshman year of college really obsessed with Tumblr.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And there was, like, this one point, like, where I was scrolling through Tumblr, and I remember seeing a GIF of a scuba diver.
Okay.
Like, they're kind of, like, on, like, this underwater ledge thing. And they kind of, like, hop off into a deeper part of the water where it goes from, like, you can see her, like, underwater to, like, it goes dark. And I'm just like, that is my literal nightmare.
That sounds not great.
Because I'm just like, there's probably a lot of sinister things there. I don't like that, you know, a ton of ocean is still, like, undiscovered and whatever. I'm just yeah. like, I don't like it.
That's what I was going to say, is that, like, the scariest thing is that, like, yeah, there's a lot of, like, unknown, but, like, to us, like, unknown to us, but there's, like, even more unknown to, like, science, you know? Right. Like, there's not even words for some of the creatures that are in the deep depths of the ocean.
Right. So, like, offshoots of this particular anxiety that I have is, mm-hmm. one, I don't really like being on boats. Like, I don't get seasick. I don't really get motion sickness in general, actually.
Lucky.
So, I'm not, being on boats isn't my favorite. Mm-hmm. I'd really just rather avoid it. But, like, my literal nightmare when it comes to this is, like, because not that I've ever, actually, I've been in one before, like, because you can do, like, historical tours or whatever, but, like, being in a submarine, like, can you just, like, think about that for a second? Like, you're going through the craziest depths of the ocean, and if, like, it gets, you know, a leak, that's it.
Yeah, you're done.
You're just done.
That's like a miserable death too,
right? And see, that, like, kind of leads into my next thing, which is, like, drowning in general is probably, like, my least favorite, like, my least preferred form of accidental death.
Yeah,
like, I was just having this conversation with someone, like, recently, like, they were saying that they'd rather drown to death than burn to death. I'm just like, opposite, dude.
That's a really hard question.
Because, like, to me, like, the idea of, like, not being able to breathe, really? Because not that you would be able to breathe into fire either, but, mm-hmm. like, drowning. Like, the idea of drowning just... But I guess, like, kind of leads into, like, a childhood story that I'm not going to tell here because it's not really the time.
I know what story you're talking about.
So I think that's kind of what informs...
You're, like, traumatized from, like, childhood happenings.
Right. So that kind of informs that particular anxiety that I have.
Right. That also reminds me of, you've seen The Prestige, yes?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? There's a movie that I've seen and you haven't?
Well, a lot of the movies that I haven't seen are by choice.
Okay, well, first of all, this movie is fantastic. It's the one with Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And you know how, like, at the end, spoilers, how at the end, basically, like, Hugh Jackman's way of remedying? Whatever. Uh-huh. Like, the creation of all his clones is to drown them as they're created. And then, like, they talk at the end about how, like, he did that because he thought that drowning was, like, a humane way of dying. But then, in reality, it's, like, horrific.
Yeah. It's really bad.
Yeah. It's all bad. That's a problematic scene.
It is. 100%. Like, and, because here's my thing as well. Like, if we're gonna go into that particular avenue... Like, let's say that, like, you have the choice of either setting someone on fire or drowning them. Uh-huh. I feel like there's a more, like, active role in drowning them because you're literally holding them down under the water. Whereas when you light them on fire, unless, like, you have a fire extinguisher or, like, throw some water on them or whatever, like, it's gonna do the deed itself.
I feel you. But I mean, like, just to, like, you know, argue for arguing's sake... In the movie, he did not, like, hold them down. He just, like, put them... Like, he had them fall into a container of water.
Yeah, well...
And they were, like, trapped in there.
That's not great either.
I mean, it's not great. It's all right. about... I mean, if you're killing someone, it's not great. Right. Bottom
we're
line.
We're not advocating for that, you guys.
Anyway.
But, yeah, so every time... Almost every time I see a movie or TV show or whatever where, like, there's characters in a submarine, I almost always, like...
Cringe.
Speak it out loud. Like, I could not, you cannot pay me
to
get into a submarine.
What about, like, the Nemo ride at Disneyland?
I mean, that's a little bit different.
Okay.
Because I feel like then, like, if you were able to get out of it, you could still, like, reasonably swim to the surface.
Yeah. Agreed.
Not like you're, you know, leagues under the ocean and
you're
just dead.
I just wanted to see where the line was drawn for you.
You know, great depths.
Okay, got it.
That's where the line's drawn, for sure.
Got it. Okay, so my next one is, like, kind of ridiculous. Like, I feel like the first one I shared, it's weird, but it has validity because, you know, like, it's a phobia that multiple people have. This one, I guarantee no one else has. But I don't know why it stresses me out so much. So basically, here's the thing. Here's the fear. Let me explain it. It's very specific.
Okay.
You know, I think I've told you this before. You know, storm drains, like gutters in the sides of roads?
Right.
How it kind of has that decline.
Right.
And then it has like that, like, not fencing, but like railing to make sure things don't fall in, but like water can still get in.
Right.
So I have a fear that I'm going to be walking and I will not notice that there's the decline. And me being kind of clumsy, as I am, I'm concerned that I will step into the decline, lose my footing, roll my ankle, and, like, fall into the storm drain, and then have my ankle just, like, broken as I hang, like, over the storm drain.
That sounds like straight out of a horror movie. Like, you know, like Final Destination.
Yeah,
that
I know.
That sort of thing.
I don't know why. I don't know how this started happening. But it started happening, and here's the thing, it actually kind of almost happened to me once, like, after the fact. Not even, it's not even like this, it almost happened to me, and then I got, like, traumatized, and then it was my fear afterwards. No, I had this fear beforehand, and then I was walking in the D parking lot of Laverne.
Okay.
Towards, like, the athletic tents, and I was talking to one of my friends, Lena, and as we're talking, all of a sudden, I, like, step into the decline of a storm drain. And I kind of rolled my ankle, but then I caught myself and, like, I didn't fall or break my ankle or anything. But I was, like, standing there for a second, like, my whole life flashing before my eyes. Like, this could have been it. This was the end. Like, this was the moment that it was going to happen. And so ever since then, it's like, nope, I don't care how ridiculous it is. It's my biggest fear.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad time.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great.
I mean, for whatever reason, it just makes me, like, think of that story where you, like, you just stepped wrong and, like, broke your foot.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, that's happened to me twice.
It's just, yeah.
What are you trying to say, Alex?
But you just have a way of stumbling into things that I don't understand.
Unfortunately.
Well, since I gave two, why don't you give your next one? So we're
okay, fair, fair, fair. Okay, so, my other one kind of goes to your fingernail hole fear, and it's... It's, like, this issue I have with seeing people get hurt. And it's not because I don't like to see people get hurt, because I can care less. I mean, in the nicest way possible, I can care less. But, like, when I see people, like, get physically injured, like, say I'm watching a movie. Here's a perfect example. Doctor Strange. You've seen it, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, in the beginning when Doctor Strange, like, flips his car and his hands get, like, totally messed up.
Right.
And then it, like, cuts to him waking up and looking at, like, his hands post-surgery.
Right.
Oh, my God. I can't tell you how painful that is for me to watch.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
I don't know, but it's not that it grosses me out, because it doesn't gross me out. Like, I'm not squeamish. I'm not, like, I don't feel, like, lightheaded. I don't feel sick to my stomach. It's, like, I get this, I don't know if it's, like, an empathy thing, but I it's like I feel the pain in my body when I see other people's injuries.
Yeah.
Like, my whole body goes into, like, shock almost. Like, I feel it. I don't know how to explain it.
You know, like, a certain part of me wonders if, like, that has to do with, like, you know, your natural, like, fight or flight defense sort
maybe
of deal. Like, you see someone get, like, it, you see another human being get injured in some kind of way, and your body's natural instinct is to be like, that's unnatural.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's, like, maybe it's, like, a thing with fight and flight and then, like, nerve endings and, like, not communicating correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the firing of the nerve endings.
Right.
Maybe that's related, because I really, it's the darndest thing. Like, I really don't know why it happens.
Yeah. I mean, like, the closest thing, like, I can think of, because I kind of feel the same way, is, like, when you watch someone get injured, like, playing sports. Like, me and my dad were watching TV last night, the night before, and he pointed out some football player who was on a commercial. He's like, oh, man, that guy in his last game, he dislocated his ankle.
Oh, gosh.
And, like, you saw it happen on, you know, TV.
National television, yeah.
So, like, when you see that something like that happen, you're just like, ugh. I feel it.
Totally. And just going to your point really fast, speaking of football players getting injured, you know the movie The Blind Side?
Right.
Fantastic movie. Mm-hmm. The opening scene where they show, like, why the defensive end or whatever gets, like, the second highest pay.
Right.
Because it shows, like, that quarterback getting his legs snapped in half.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That scene where they show it and they zoom in and you see, like, his legs snapping in half. It's like, I literally am like, kill me. Right. Kill me. Right. Can't take it. I can't take it.
Exactly.
Anyways. Go on.
So, my next one, which I guess is kind of related to the whole drowning thing, is actually suffocation.
Okay.
Like, situations where I don't feel like I have enough oxygen.
Just which is such, like, a bizarre... Like, here's the thing. Like, I feel like this isn't an irrational fear because it makes sense to be scared of this. But at the same time, it's like, in what situation would you not have oxygen?
See, exactly. So that kind of goes into the story that I'm going to tell. So I don't remember what the context of it was because I was a young child.
Mm-hmm.
I was still in the dairy then, so I was pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing around in my parents' room, and I was, like, hiding under their covers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I was under the sheets and under the comforter, but my head was facing towards the foot of the bed, and my parents, like, have their sheets tucked in, like most mm-hmm, people have, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. in their beds. And I was so small, and their bed was, like, California King, that I'm just kind of, like, I was far enough down that it was hard for me to, like, find my way back to, like, you know, fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheets and comforter were kind of heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt, like, really shut in,
mm-hmm.
and the air was getting really stale.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't, like, push up enough to, like, really get myself out. So, like, I was really panicking for mm-hmm. a second, like, I can't breathe, like, I need to get out of here sort of deal. Which, obviously, I'm just sitting here right now, it was fine.
Yeah, right, right.
But that kind of is, like, whenever I think back to, like, how that makes me uncomfortable, that's the first thing I think of.
Yeah, like, and that's, like, childhood traumas, I feel like, are the root of a lot of fears.
Right. And, like, this is another non-irrational fear, actually, like, fear of, like, tight spaces and whatever, and that's not my favorite, but I think I can deal as long as I have, like, a fresh air supply.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, like, there is a escape room in, I forget where it's at, but it's kind of L.A. adjacent.
Okay.
And, one of the aspects of the room is that some of your people are, like, kind of locked in this cupboard.
Oh, God. Okay.
I mean,
I literally, that is my next one, but I'll talk about it after you're done.
I mean, it's not, like, you know, an actual, like, cupboard, like, in a house. Like, it has, like, some depth to it. So, mm-hmm. like, you know, they're not, like, up against a wall with the door, like, in front of their face. Like, there's room for them to, like, spread out their limbs a little bit.
Okay.
But, like, I would be okay with that as long as I felt like I had enough air.
Interesting.
I mean, I'm not trying to stay in, you know, small spaces
right,
forever.
Right,
like,
but it's not like that's not the make or break.
Yeah.
Got it. That's interesting. Yeah. If you don't have anything else to talk about, like, I have a good segue to my next one.
Go
from
for
that.
It.
Okay, yeah. So my next one, so here's the thing. I'm not claustrophobic. I don't care about small spaces. Like, if I am in, like, for example, even like the Hex room, like the escape room that we go to in Anaheim. The rooms are really small. Like, they're not big.
Right.
And, like, that doesn't make me feel uncomfortable in the least bit. If I'm stuck in a closet, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. Specifically, I have an issue with being locked in a wardrobe. And let me tell you why. So, when we were younger, me and my sister, we watched the movie The Sixth Sense.
Okay.
And I don't know if you remember that scene where he goes to, like, some party or something like that, and two kids lock him in this, like, weird little wardrobe that's in the wall, and the reason they lock him in there is because he was, like, fixated on staring at it because he heard, like, a demon, like, speaking in it or, like, screaming or doing something in it. Mm-hmm. So they lock him in it because they're like, well, you weirdo, whatever, and he's, like, screaming and banging on it, and when they finally get him out, he has, like, all these, like, gashes and scratch marks all over him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had watched that, and then shortly thereafter, we had this, like, wardrobe that had, like, this old-timey, like, Mexican we're in Mexico, by the way. This old-timey, like, Mexican wardrobe that, like, had a locking mechanism from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, hey, like, Choopy, that's what she called me. She goes, hey, Choopy, like, why don't you sit in there and, like, let's see if you can fit. And I was like, I can fit. Like, I'm not going to do it. And she's just like, well, let's just see. I don't think you can. I'm like, okay. So I sit in there and she's like, oh, I'm just going to close it to see if it'll close. And she closes it and locks me in there because she's evil. And so, like, I'm fresh off of watching this movie. I am now locked in the wardrobe and I am convinced that a demon is going to eat me. So, like, this is, like, really where it came from. It's, like, the childhood trauma of experiencing this so close to, after watching that movie.
Right.
So, like, now I feel like, okay, there's no validity behind it, but, right. like, that experience is what really solidified it for me.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a high-stress sort of situation.
Yeah, so shout out to my sister for causing me long-term trauma.
I mean, it's, like, more or less, like, my fear of drowning.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah. My last one, which, even thinking about it, just, like, is so gross to me. Just is, makes my skin crawl.
This is, like, I feel like this is, like, a rational one, though. Like, I feel like people can get behind this one.
I mean, can get behind it in the fact that they don't like it, but I'm just kind of like, I avoided it.
I will anyway. Die, yeah.
So, my next one is cockroaches. And here's my thing. I'm not really too bothered by bugs in general. You know, I don't need them crawling all over me all the time, you know, that sort of deal. But, like, if I see one, I'm not gonna, like, flip out. Mm-hmm. But unless they're, like, flying ones, I don't like when flying bugs that are not flies really land on me. Like,
I mean, anything that flies for me other than birds, I hate. So, I'm with you.
Yeah. So, when we were in college, mm-hmm. was it Monero? That's the science building?
Monero, yeah.
So, when we were in college, Monero had, like, this particular hallway, I think it might have been on the second floor, where they kept tanks full of cockroaches for experiments. Mm-hmm. And I could not walk in that hallway.
Yeah.
Granted,
it's pretty horrific.
I never took a science class, like, a honest-to-goodness, like, full semester science class. No.
Did you do a Jan term?
I did 2 Jan terms.
Oh, got it. I was going to say, like, wait, I thought that's a general, like, education requirement.
Okay, it is, but I took Jan terms to get out of it.
Makes sense.
So, luckily, I never really had much occasion to walk around in there, but, like, I'd always avoid that particular hallway because it had all those cockroaches. Like, me seeing a cockroach, especially, like, a live one, makes me almost ill. Well, not, like, really, but just, like, it really grosses me out. Like, skin crawling, like, I want to run away. Mm-hmm. Like, once me and a coworker, we were when I was working at Fox, we were at our off-site tape facility, mm-hmm. which that place has a ton of cockroaches. Mm-hmm. And what's even worse is that the saying about cockroaches is if you see one, like, there's, you know, 100 or something. Yeah. Like, they're just, you're infested if you see one.
Yeah.
And the thing about this place, it was called Bundy. The thing about Bundy was that on the inside walls and, like, over the windows and whatever, it was just, like, covered in movie posters. Because someone who used to work there also worked part-time in a movie theater. So they'd always get free posters and they'd just put them up at Bundy. Mm-hmm. And we were walking by, like, down a particular hall, and we saw, we both, like, looked to our left, and, like, eyeline to us was a cockroach on a movie poster.
Oh, my God.
So, like, we both, like, started screaming and basically running away from it.
Yeah, as one does.
As one does. And then, like, 5 minutes later, like, looking back down that hallway, the cockroach is gone. So I'm just like, well, like,
where is it?
Where is it? It's gonna kill me. That's it's so after funny. Me. Kill me, please.
That's so funny. You know, I really understand this fear of yours because although I don't have a fear of cockroaches, I do have a fear of scorpions.
Ugh.
And I feel like I experienced the exact same thing because one time when I was in Mexico in my aunt's house, I was sleeping over with my cousin. And in the middle of the night, I need to go to the restroom. And, like, the way her house is, I mean, you've been to my aunt's house, how it's really long.
Right.
And, like, yeah. The bathroom's all the way in the back. Remember, right. You have to, like, go outside to go to it?
Yeah.
So I needed to go all the way across the house to go to the bathroom. And as I was crossing the house, I, like, look across from the banister onto the wall. And there's just a scorpion just hanging out on the wall.
Yeah, that sounds like a kill me sort of situation.
I was like, screw the bathroom. I'm going back to bed and locking the door, putting a towel underneath the door.
Right.
Yeah, so I get that. I get that, like, fear of seeing something and not knowing where it will go.
Right. And I think, you know, for the most part, for, like, the cockroaches, it's more so just an extreme disgust than, sure, I guess, an actual fear. But now that we've been talking about it a little bit, one really, like, true fear that we're, is, like, kind of related is, mm-hmm, snakes.
Yeah, well.
Like, I have a friend who has a snake, and it's a really nice snake. It's, mm-hmm, like, really tiny, python? Whatever. Huh?
Is it a python?
No, it's a tiny snake. Like, it's like a garden snake.
Python.
Pythons, like, are big, aren't they?
I mean, some of them are, but, like, a lot of the pet snakes are pythons.
Oh, well, I don't know, but his name's Nigel. Mm. Anyway, like, I was visiting him, he's like, oh, want to hold Nigel? I'm just like, no, I really don't. And, like, he brings it down anyway from where his cage was and, like, puts it in my hands and just like, ugh, kill me. Like, funny. I really don't like snakes at all.
I feel you.
Unsubscribe.
That's like, I feel like that's a lot of people, though. Like, my sister's irrational fear is being, like, bitten in the butt by a toilet snake, like, while she's using the restroom.
Are toilet snakes, like, a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing. Like, really, it really is a thing. Like, right. I know my...
In developed America?
In America, yeah. Like, you know Tanya?
Yeah.
My sister's ex-friend? Yeah. When we were kids, her dad... like, went in the bathroom in their house in South Hills, like, here down the street, and, like, opened the toilet, and there was a toilet snake, like, in the toilet.
Well, that's a new nightmare for me. Thanks.
Yeah, like, sometimes they can get into the sewer system, and they'll, like, swim up the pipes and, like, into your toilet. Like, it's a real thing. Look it up.
See, like, I could see that sort of thing happening, like, back when I lived on the dairy and whatever, because, like, that was, like, my brother and his friend would, like, go out and, like, catch snakes. So, like, that was, like, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
But, like, in a residential area, that's horrifying.
Well, I mean, she lived in, like, the most residential of suburban areas, so, I don't know, it's a thing.
Eek.
Speaking of snakes really fast, I'm sure you didn't watch this show, but there's a show that used to air on Animal Planet called Infested, and it was basically about, like, different homes who, like, people moved in, or they were living there, or whatever, and they... like, realized that they had some form of, like, an infestation of different, like, animals.
Interesting.
And one of the episodes, I think it's the very first one, it's these people in Canada, and they were, like, looking to buy a house, and as they were driving down the street, they see that there's this house on, like, an open ranch, and it was for sale, and they're like, it's so beautiful, why has no one put in an offer? We'll take it. So they take the house, and they're living there, and, like, gradually as they're there, they're starting to notice a lot of, like, the gardener snakes, like, mm-hmm, in their lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, oh, okay, like, those aren't venomous, like, whatever, like, get them out. And as time progressed, they started noticing, like, there's a lot of snakes in our lawn. And finally got to the point where they're just like, this isn't normal, what's going on? And so they, like, called over an exterminator, and they found out that the house, like, the crawl space of the house,
mm-hmm,
was a snake den. And so, like, underneath their house was just, like, millions of snakes.
That's horrible.
So that's a thought for you at night.
And a thought for you that I have then for scorpions. I'm not sure if I said this to you before.
Well, there was an episode on that show about scorpions, so go on.
Was it really? So back when I was at Fox, there was a intern,
uh-huh,
that we had who went to school in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me once about how, like, spiders in California, like, how that just happens. Like, you'll see a spider in your house and it's whatever, and, mm-hmm, you know, just panic for a little bit, kill it, and then... cry yourself
on
to sleep.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, scorpions are, like, the spiders of Arizona.
Yeah, they are. That's exactly where the episode of The Infested, whatever, like, it took place in Arizona.
Yeah. But just, like, certain areas, like, they'll just be chilling out in your house, and that sounds like a literal nightmare.
Yeah. Especially, I know that, like, the particular episode that I'm talking about, the, like, what's the, like, species or... genus, I don't even know what the right term is, of scorpion, like, the type of scorpion that they were talking about, that they had the infestation of, it's, like, this weird see-through scorpion that turns, like, neon at night. And really? Apparently it's, like, one of the most venomous scorpions, like, on Earth.
Well, nightmares.
Nightmares, 100%. And I'm so sorry, because this is really, like, this podcast all of a sudden has turned into a talk about, like, insects. But, another fear that, like, I've mentioned him on this podcast before. My friend growing up, Ryan P. Chen, you know, mm-hmm, the one that, like, chased me around when he was naked and stuff?
Right.
He, I think me and my sister, like, gave him an irrational fear when we were kids because we told him about the brown recluse spider.
Okay, yeah.
And basically, so if you don't know, that spider is indigenous to like very woodsy areas, particularly I think in South America. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Canada. I don't know. But like its home is like very woodsy tree areas. And this spider, if it bites you, the type of venom that it has, it starts like disintegrating your muscle tissue. So like basically if it bites you, like you'll lose your body unless it like gets treated. So like you lose your limb basically if not treated, and you can die.
You know, this is exactly where, like, you kind of have to realize every once in a while, like, as a human being, that you're, like, choosing to, you know, forget about really worrisome things.
Just forget about the brown recluse, forget it exists.
Forget about that. Forget about black widows. Forget about scorpions. Forget about poisonous snakes. Like, just live your life blissfully ignorant.
Yeah,
Just
honestly.
pretending like it's not like maybe around the corner and gonna bite you.
Well, the thing is that like I feel like you're more aware, like you have to be aware of the things that are indigenous to your region. And I was actually having this conversation with my dad like 3 days ago or something, and we were talking about how like in America, or not even America, in California, we have like our biggest predator to our daily life, like in our neighborhoods, would probably be the coyote.
Right, yeah.
But and we were talking about how like to us, like that's like something that like me, for example, who has a small dog, I'm constantly like worried about like, okay, well, make sure you're out there with her because I don't want a coyote to get her, you know?
Right.
But when I think about coyotes being our biggest threat right now, and then I think about like how in Florida they just get gators in their house,
Right.
or in Africa and they just get hippos that eat them, or in I think where is it? And somewhere in like an Asian country they get like jackals or something. And it's like I am so happy that our threat is a coyote. Like I would
Right.
much prefer that.
Just to spin this out in a direction that wasn't going anyway, because as long as we're like on the topic of all these like really crazy things, like just super tangent. I was saying this the other day to my dad that I'm like so thankful for our natural disasters in California, because really
Earthquakes.
all that we have to deal with, I mean, there's the fires, which
Well,
stinks,
yeah, I mean, yeah.
but is earthquakes. And as
Right.
far as like natural disasters go, I'm pretty okay with it being earthquakes, because like
Yeah. If I had to choose a natural disaster, I would go with
Because,
earthquake.
like, you think about tornadoes,
Horrifying.
horrifying. You think about
Hurricanes.
tsunamis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tsunamis are bad.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you imagine, like, seeing that thing coming for you?
I'm
Like,
not down.
I mean, the good thing is, like, not that tsunamis happen in this part of the world, because they don't,
Yeah.
but we're so far inland that it wouldn't matter anyway.
Right. But even hurricanes, like that's
Yeah.
common in these
Right.
states, you know?
Yeah. I'm
Heck
just
no,
like,
dude. I'm not down for
I'm
that.
cool with my earthquakes, man. I really am.
And here's the thing. Funny you say that because I remember like back when I worked at the Americana in Glendale, my coworker Christian, he was from Florida.
Right.
And he would tell me how like his family, who obviously Florida, they more deal with like hurricanes and like that type of natural disaster. And he would tell me that his family refused to visit him in California because they were petrified of the idea of an earthquake.
That is so funny.
Isn't that funny? Because here we are being like, I would much rather an earthquake, but then people who have experienced the other things are like, I would much prefer this.
Yeah, because like when I think about like earthquakes and fires, actually, I mean, if you live in like this area, like the West Covina San Dimas area, that actually is more concern as far as fires go, because there's enough like
Like tree.
trees, foliage, that sort of stuff to like really sustain a fire. Like, I
Totally.
think about where I live in Chino. And like there's areas of like Chino Hills where I think it could be a problem, and like Pomona as well. But where specifically I live in Chino, I'm not really at all concerned about fires, because I'm not close enough to anything that could like catch and sustain a fire for long enough. Like literally you'd have to like be an arsonist for my house to burn down.
Yeah, you guys are pretty like bare over there. Like there's not a lot of like what's the word?
Combustible
Yeah, like there's
things,
not a lot of like
flammable,
fire.
yeah.
What's
Hazards.
the word? Yeah, like there's not a lot of fire hazard. Exactly.
Right.
Thank you.
And then, like, you know, obviously there have been historically pretty bad earthquakes in California,
Right.
but it's been such a long time that I think that there's been like a significant, like the one that destroyed like parts of LA, like it's been a long time.
The Northridge
Right.
earthquake, yeah.
So, you know, it's scary kind of to be in a big earthquake, but, like, you live here and you get used to it.
Well, here's the thing. Funny you say that. You talk about, like, the big earthquake, because today is, like, nationally for public schools, like, the big shakeout.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so, like, today's the day that you train for, like, the big one, quote-unquote. So, funny you say that. So funny we're talking about it right now. But I feel like when I'm in an earthquake, I am very stressed out. But then it's over, you know?
Right. Like, there was an earthquake a couple weeks ago. And I remember, like, I had just gotten home. I was, like, laying in bed and whatever. And an earthquake's going on. It's not, like, a huge earthquake, but it's sizable enough that it's shaking things around.
Yeah, the one in the El Monte earthquake or whatever it was. Oh, no, Rosemead it was.
Right, yeah. So close enough. And I remember, like, this is, like, the level of casualness you get to earthquakes sometimes, especially since I'm not super freaked out by them anyway. Mm-hmm. Is I'm just laying there. Well, I'm, like, kind of sitting up in bed. I'm just like, well, I hope this doesn't knock over my TV. As I'm watching TV, like, laying in bed, like, winding down for the day, man. I'm just like, well, you know, there's not really anything that is super important that will break in here besides that TV, so I hope it doesn't, you know,
that's so funny.
Topple over, which it didn't.
Well, going to exactly to that point of how, like, jaded Californians are from earthquakes, that exact same earthquake you're talking about, because it was recently, I'm obviously much more closer to the epicenter than Chino.
Right.
So we got a pretty good jolt.
Right.
And so when it happened, like, I was in bed, it happened, I, like, sat up in bed, and I was like, oh, man, that was an earthquake. And then Aaron's like, yeah. And then it stopped, and I was like, okay, cool. And I immediately fell asleep. Like, right. I was, like, immediately, like, okay, I'm done. And Aaron was, like, making fun of me the next day. He was like, yeah, you, like, woke up for it and then saw I was done. You're like, okay, bye.
Basically, I mean, it's not that big of a deal to us anymore.
Yeah. But then again, we haven't been through, like, a significant one. But even if we did, I put my money on being able to survive a massive earthquake than being able to survive, like, a tornado, like, being that, like, you're in it, you know? Like, if we're in the middle, like, in the epicenter of an earthquake, and we're in the, like, right in the trajectory of a tornado, I give us more chance of surviving the earthquake than the tornado.
Oh, for sure. I don't want to be in the way of a tornado.
100%. And going to that point, obviously, California, we don't get tornadoes here. But in 2013, I think it was, I was sleeping at home at my mom's house in San Dimas, and we got a tornado warning in San Dimas.
What?
In the middle of the night. Yeah, in 2013. And I was with Matt Wheeler. He was with me at the time. And we, like, all of us, our phones started going off like an Amber Alert, you know? But mm-hmm. It was like, tornado warning, get to safety, this is this. And we were so, like, confused. And I guess it was something with, like, the... Because I guess when you can predict a tornado, it's, like, a difference in... What is it? Like, wind pressure or, like, wind speed and, like, temperatures or, like, something. I don't know. It's, like, a combination of different, like, weather things where you can predict a tornado. And then on top of that, like, I guess when a tornado is going to happen, like, the sky turns green. Or, like, there's, like, a green hue around you.
Yeah, I think I've heard that before.
Yeah. And I remember, like, looking out into the backyard, and I was like, you guys, the sky is legit green. Like, it's green. And we were all freaked out, because we were like, oh, my God, we're not equipped to handle this. Like, what are we going to do? Just, like, stand here and let it take us? You know, we don't have bunkers in California. We don't have basements.
Yeah.
And obviously nothing happened. Like, right. It was fine, but it was so bizarre, and I was so freaked out. Like, I was like, I am not equipped to handle this.
Yeah. That sounds... bad.
Yeah. Okay, we really went on a tangent. All right, like, crazy.
Let's get this back.
So let's it's just one last point. This is my last one, and I think we're done here. But my last one is kind of a more serious fear, and it stems from a trauma that I had in my last relationship, my last significant relationship, and it's the fear of being lied to for, like, being deceived for a long period of time. And right. So basically, to give context to that, if you guys haven't listened to our relationship podcast, which honestly you should have, because I think that's our most listened to podcast.
For sure.
It's the most interesting, I think. And anyways, so my ex-boyfriend from college, who is the person that I thought I was going to marry and everything and la la, whatever, I was so in love with him. We were together for like 2 years, basically, and we had discussed, like, let's get married. What's our wedding going to look like? Like, who are our guests going to be? Like, you know, like, we were really serious. And we would spend, like, every day together. And I, like, loved him with, like, my whole being. And there was sometimes that I would ask him, like, are you sure you love me? Because, like, and that's not something I ask my boyfriends generally because, you know, I never have that insecurity. Right. But for some reason with him, like, I would always, like, be like, what's going on, you know? And he would always, like, reassure me, like, no, like, what are you talking about? You're my world. You're this. I love you. I'm so la, 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 la. And I was like, okay, well, like, maybe it's just, like, a difference in just expressing each other or, like, expressing oneself or whatever. Mm-hmm. Long story short, when we ended up breaking up, like, when he finally, like, was like, I don't want to be with you, he was like, I've never loved you. When I think about my future, I don't see it with you. Like, everything that I thought was, like, not true. Like, I've never been interested in you, da, 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 da. Yeah. And I, from that, like, I feel like that's really given me so much trauma, and it really, like, not ruined, but, like, affected my relationships with anyone after that, because I'm just constantly in this fear of, like, they don't actually like me, you know, like, this is all a facade, it's a big lie, you know, like, it's this irrational fear that everyone hates me.
Right.
Everyone that I care about hates me because of, like, 2 years of being deceived, you know?
Right. And, like, that's 100%, like, a super, like, believable thing, too. Because, like, it's not necessarily just the lying. It was mm-hmm. a betrayal.
Exactly, yeah. And it's, like, it sucks because, like, here I am being, like, obviously, I know that, like, you don't hate me. But, like, I would be lying if I didn't think every now and then, like, oh, my God, Alex is only hanging out with me because I'm asking her to, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's stupid, and I have to tell myself, like, you're being ridiculous, but it's definitely, like, that affected me. Like, that's really, like, caused me a lot of, like, irrational fears ever since then.
You know, I can understand that, and to a certain extent, suffer from a similar affliction as well, but I think, like, you know, it's kind of also, like, the brown recluse. Like, you kind of just have to...
Just let it be.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's super understandable, though.
Yeah, like, it's just... It's...
Because when it gets, like, to being that long of a lie and, like, that nefarious of a lie, like...
Right? Like, why? Like, just tell... Like, there's so many opportunities for him to be like, I'm not interested, right. You know? And for him to just drag it out, I'm just like, well, this really ruined me for life.
Right.
Exactly. But it is what it is.
Well... On that note,
I feel like we got to end it on a little bit positive, more positive a note. That's, like, so depressing.
Let's see. Do I have another goofy phobia that I just can't deal with? Let me see. Do my brothers do anything that just always freaked me out? Let's see.
I don't have necessarily a phobia for me, but I can tell a story and, like, a quasi-fear my sister has, which is your favorite story.
Okay.
So my sister... God bless her. She has this issue with just, like, getting injured whenever she does anything physically, like...
I love stories about
requiring,
sister.
You know? And so, this is Alex's favorite story of my sister. But there was one time... My sister's just... She's so complex. Every time she does anything, like, remotely athletic, she'll injure herself. And this one time... This isn't even athletic, honestly. But athletic in the sense that she was wearing heels.
Yeah.
So we were walking out of a supermarket. My sister's wearing heels, which my sister also doesn't really wear heels. Like, if she wears heels, she wears, like, pumps. This one time she was wearing heels. And we're walking out of the supermarket. She's on her phone texting. I'm walking in front of her. I'm not really paying attention because, you know, like, why am I paying attention to my sister, you know, while she's walking? And the next thing I know, I just hear, like, clack, 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 you know, the heels, like, just, like, really, like, just going at it. And I turn around, and apparently, so what happened is my sister's texting. She's walking out of the supermarket. She steps into a trap, like a grocery bag that was on the floor.
Right.
Steps into it with one heel, takes another step with her next foot, and steps into it again with the other heel.
Right.
Takes another step, and all of a sudden, like, now the bag has, like, consumed her feet. And with every step she takes, it just keeps inching its way up her body. And so all of it, like, by the time I turn around, I see her, like, fighting with the bag. Like, legs going crazy trying to get away from the bag, but as much as she's trying to get out of the bag is getting higher and higher up her legs until the point where she's basically, like, falling over. Thank God she didn't, because there's so many times, so many stories where, like, the punchline is she falls. But in this case, she was able to catch her balance, but it was so ridiculous seeing my sister fight with this trash bag.
this is, Dre knows because she mentioned it, but this is like literally my favorite story ever of Danielle.
For the whatever visual. Reason. Like when you know my sister and then you visualize it, it just makes it like so great. Like it's so funny. My sister is the most funny person ever sometimes. But anyway, okay, so let's let's end it on that one.
Right.
Something more positive, not so depressing.
Right. Okay. So, well, I hope you guys enjoyed our weird talk about irrational fears.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can relate to some of it.
Chime in on our Instagram or our YouTube if you can relate to it, or if you guys have some weird fears that maybe we didn't mention.
Or have a particular opinion about natural disasters.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're one of those people who lives in Florida. Actually, we have some listeners in Michigan. So yeah. Shout out to the Michigan listeners. If you have a particular opinion about natural disasters versus earthquakes, let us know. All right. On that note, see you guys next week.